You are listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Melbourne, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, and I'm coming to you from Island Community Church here. God bless you. Thank God it is Friday. Here behind the microphones here, semi-live once again on this Friday. And from now on, every Friday, I'll be doing the program this way and maybe even other days as well. So instead of only hearing some of the Sunday sermons from Island Community Church, I'm going to be behind the microphones here recording something just specifically for you guys out here on the radio. So again, it's Friday, 6:30 a.m., maybe 7:30 a.m. here on WWBC and WMIE, or maybe it's 5:30 in the afternoon. God bless you guys. Happy Friday to you. Thank God it is Friday. Thank you for spending 30 minutes of your Friday to join me as we together study the word of Almighty God. We are going to start here today, the book of Revelation, verse by verse. Lord, we thank you for another opportunity. No better place to be than sitting under your word. Lord, we pray your word back to you, that you promised as we study the book of Revelation, you call us blessed too. That if we hear, if we've got ears to hear, if we read it, that is, take the time to read, if we have ears to hear, and you've called us blessed, if we keep the words written therein, because the time is near. We ask for your blessings now on all that we do here. Lead us and guide us in the coming days. Lord, we pray for a new revelation and understanding in this book. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. I invite you guys to church this weekend. We are in the book of Hebrews at Island, and my launching point is going to be chapter 8. My sermon's entitled, Just Do It. And I won't say any more about it, but I invite you guys to church this weekend, Sunday morning at 10:30, and you'll hear that sermon on the radio here by Tuesday and Wednesday. Okay, the book of Revelation. I want to read to you first, before we get started here, the four possible ways of interpreting this book. The first is called preterist. The second is called historical. The third is called idealist. And the fourth, which is the correct way to interpret this, is futuristic or premillennial. So, the first way is called a preterist. They believe, and a few denominations hold to this view, like Presbyterians, perhaps some Catholics, though the Catholics are more amillennial, but a preterist. They believe that all the events of the book of Revelation were already fulfilled during the days of either Nero or Domitian, the emperor. The book is concerned only, the book of Revelation is only concerned with the events of the first century. Now, I'm reading this from Dr. Criswell. His evaluation of that is, this book is reduced to a little more than a relic of antiquity with no message for later generations. And I believe that that's wrong. It's wrong to think that Nero was the Antichrist. There'll be no mistaking the time when we are living in the book of Revelation. And when you believe that way, then you can't interpret literal, and that's what we must do. Literal when possible, but we can know, and once you know and understand the symbol, then you'll understand the book. The second way of interpreting the book of Revelation is historical or post-millennialism. This view believes that the book of Revelation is a panorama of church history from the initiation of the apostolic era to the consummation of the age. The evaluation of that, the multiplicity of interpretation of metaphors and symbols quickly becomes intolerably subjective. That means apple can mean anything. Apple means watermelon. And if you buy my teaching tapes, then you'll understand what it means. When you don't interpret literal, anything can mean anything. The third way of interpreting is idealist or amillennial. That is, they don't believe in the thousand-year reign of Christ, though he says it six or seven times in one chapter. The Lord Jesus is coming back, and he's going to set up a kingdom here on earth, and he's going to reign for 1,000 years because the Bible says that he's going to reign for 1,000 years. Now, this group doesn't believe in interpreting that literally. They think 1,000 years is just a long time. The last way and the correct way to interpret this is futuristic or premillennialism. That is the belief that Jesus Christ will return to usher in the millennial age. Beginning with chapter 4, the events described belong to a future age and constitute a marvelous prophecy of God's program for the consummation of the age. The futuristic perspective is in perfect harmony with the message of the entire Bible. Far fewer interpretive enigmas are engendered by this approach. So that's what we hold to. Literal when possible. If not, understand the symbol and you'll understand the book. Understand the symbol and you'll understand the book. Okay. Revelation chapter 1. Now again, as I say, each time we read and go through the book of Revelation, the book of Revelation is a bad book to build your doctrine or to build the doctrine of faith. Because except for the first three chapters, which is a wonderful place to build doctrine, by the way, and that's what we are going to do as we see a side of the Lord Jesus that you don't see in the Gospels. The first three chapters, the Lord's instructions to the church are an excellent place to build doctrine. Other than that, the place you build the doctrine of the faith is the book of Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, 1st Peter, and the Lord Jesus' teachings in the four Gospels. Now, the book of Revelation is the only apocalyptic book in the entire New Testament. It also was the last book to be recognized as being legitimate. And since that is the case, it is also the book with the fewest copies because, well, the book blew everyone's mind. People didn't think that the book was legitimate. So many times they didn't copy that book. They didn't take a manuscript, copy it, and send it around because a lot of people didn't think that the book was legitimate. Because people have issues with the supernatural, ultimately. So, Revelation, written by John the Apostle. He's going to tell us as much that it's John, right here in the first chapter. Written from the island of Patmos. We'll find out shortly how he ended up there. Written around the year 96 AD. Again, Revelation is a symbolic book, but the symbols many times are not that difficult to understand. When we read in here in chapter 13, where John says, I saw a beast with two horns like a lamb, but he spoke as a dragon, we understand who that is. He expects us to know who the lamb is. Think of John the Baptist, John 1:29. Behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. He expects us to know who a lamb is. He expects us to know who a dragon is. Chapter 12 is going to lay it out plain and simple who the dragon is. That serpent of old called the devil and Satan who deceives the whole world. He's going to get to that. So we don't have to guess. You understand the symbol and you'll understand the book. Understand the symbol and understand the book. One other thing, too, about faulty interpretations. Many of these groups don't believe that the beast is the Antichrist. Some people think beast. They refuse to interpret that the way that they should. Beast to some groups, to some denominations, to some churches. Beast just means world system or a kingdom or a country or something that happened long ago. And that's faulty. And I'll show you why in the Bible. When we get to Revelation chapter 19, verse 20, we read, "And then the beast was apprehended." Now, that's the Greek word for arrested. The word piazzo means to be arrested. Same as what they did to the Lord Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was arrested. "Then the beast was arrested, and with him," now there's the masculine pronoun, him. Not it, but him. "Then the beast was apprehended, and with him the false prophet," and then it says there, "and these two were thrown alive into the lake of fire, burning with fire and brimstone." Make no mistake in understanding, as we go through this book, and when you read the word and hear beast, know it's a person. Revelation chapter 19, verse 20 calls him a person. It calls him a man. He's a masculine man. These two, him and the false prophet, two parts of the satanic unholy trinity, are men. They're individuals. They're people. And they're going to see their doom in the lake of fire. They're not world systems. They're not countries. They're not symbolic of just nations. Understand the symbol and understand the book, but when you get to chapter 19, verse 20, it's going to be plain and clear to tell you that these are individuals. They're people, not nations. Okay, now let's get into the word here. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. I'll be in a few different translations, New King James for the most part, my Bible translation, as well as the King James Version. "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to all the things that he saw. Blessed is he." All right, here's the first beatitude in the book of Revelation. It's not just Matthew that has beatitudes. There are seven beatitudes here in the book of Revelation, right here in verse 3, chapter 14, verse 13, chapter 16, chapter 19 and 20, and twice in chapter 22. The beatitude where Jesus says, blessed are you. Blessed are you if you do something. Says the same thing here. Blessed is he and she. Blessed is he who, number one, reads. But not just reads. You know, a lot of people just read. Atheists read, scoffers read, unbelievers read, naysayers read. You can't just read, but you also have to, number two, you have to hear. And to hear, you have to have ears to hear. Just like the Lord says many times, and he's going to say to each one of these seven churches, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Not everyone can hear. The Apostle Paul says, pray for us, because there's a lot of evil people out here, and not everyone has faith. These atheists, and scoffers, and unbelievers, and naysayers, they don't have ears to hear. They peruse through the book of Revelation looking for discrepancies or looking for loopholes, escape clauses, so to speak. Listen to this verse, John 8:47. "He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." If you're not of God, you'll never hear. The Holy Spirit, just you will not hear the Spirit. Remember, the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word is alive. But if you don't have ears to hear, the message of the cross, Paul said, is foolishness to those that are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. But without God's blessing, Without God's enabling, you'll never hear and understand this. So blessed is he who reads. Blessed is he who hears. And number three, blessed is he, or blessed is the one who keeps. The word means guard, like a sentinel guarding a prisoner. Blessed is he who guards and keeps the words of this book for yourself and for all generations and from all the evil people out here in the world that want to confiscate it. You see, you can read all you want and you've got ears to hear, but how are you doing today at keeping it? What will you do when they knock on your door here or at your house and say, give it up? What will you do? What will you say? People are hard at work as we speak, trying to have your Bible confiscated. Just because it's quiet out here later, it doesn't mean that evil people out here are not out here trying to confiscate and take away your Bible. If you don't work at keeping this word, then the way that I see it, you're no different than the one that doesn't have the ears to hear. This is a command. This is an action word. You must keep and guard the word of God. Guard it in your heart. Guard it and protect it. Speak it with your family and to your family. Guard it. Watch out over it. And if you don't work at keeping this word, again, you've missed this blessing here. Meatloaf is wrong, that old singer who says, two out of three ain't bad. No, two out of three, you need all three of these. Blessed is he who reads. This is the only book out of all 66 books in the Bible. This is the only book that promises a blessing. If you read this, and if you hear it, you're blessed. Believe me, there's 6 billion people out here that can't hear it, but you can. God calls you blessed. You're blessed because you got tomorrow's newspaper today. You know what's going to happen. Look, the last time we went through this, let me show you one of the blessings that the Lord gave us the last time I preached through this at church. We're going to read here, coming up in one of these 7 letters to the 7 churches. It says, to he who overcomes, I will give to him some of the hidden manna to eat, which you know not of. Now, I've read that 1,000 times. But this last time around when I read that, you see, my eyes were open. God allowed me to comprehend and understand that to everyone who perseveres out here, everyone who keeps my word to the end, to him, I will give to him some of the hidden manna. Now, when we get to chapter 11, we're going to see when the two witnesses are here that no rain falls during the days of their prophecy. That's 1,260 days. That, on the Hebrew calendar, is 3.5 years. Imagine that, 3.5 years with no rain. We know how it is out here now here in Florida with no rain. 3.5 years. Can you imagine the drought? Have you ever been to the Publix or a Winn-Dixie or a Home Depot or a store out here trying to get water when there's a hurricane coming? Now, can you imagine 3.5 years with no water? When we get to Revelation, I think it's chapter 4. Or 5, we see this scene in heaven, the 4 horsemen. He says, a quart of wheat for a denarius. That is a loaf of bread for a day's wage. How much do you make in a day? Now remember, we interpret the book of Revelation as futurists. That is, we believe that has not happened yet. It's talking of a time in the future. That's not talking about 2,000 years ago. That's got nothing to do with you. We interpret that. I believe the Antichrist hasn't come yet. I believe we haven't seen the two witnesses. I believe we haven't seen someone kill people with fire coming out of their mouth. I believe it says the whole world sees it at the same time. What do you do with that? See, if you interpret that way, it falls like a house of cards. The whole world sees the two witnesses lying down dead, everyone in the whole world at the same time. How do you account for that if that already happened? You see, that your belief system crumbles when the Bible says that the death of two men everyone in the whole world can see their dead bodies at the same time. How could that have happened 2,000 years ago? It didn't happen then. It hasn't happened yet. There'll be no mistaking. Believe me, there will be no mistaking when we are living in the tribulation and the book of Revelation is being unfolded here before our eyes. So the Lord showed me that the last time we went through this, that I will give to you some of the hidden manna to eat, which you know not of. That's just like he says, you don't know where it is, you don't know where it's going to come from, but for all those that are on the earth at that time and who are going to trust the Lord Jesus Christ through times of terrible trial, he's promised, if you get out of the boat and walk on the water and keep your eyes on me and trust in me, then I will give to you some of this food that I've got hidden that you know not of. No one knows it. You can't see it, but it's coming for everyone that's going to be alive during this time that is going to say no to Antichrist and false prophet and no to receiving this mark of the beast, the name of the beast or the number of his name. For all those that say no to him and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to take care of you during that time. Now, that was an example of one of many times how the Lord has kept his promise and we've received a blessing. And, I mean, that's one of the best blessings you could get, really, how to persevere at the end of the age if you're alive during that time. If you're around during that time. Man, oh, man, share this around the dinner table. Have your whole family know this kind of stuff. Trust in God. When we get to chapter 12, it says they overcame the enemy. They overcame the devil by the word, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Man, oh man, talk about this stuff around the dinner table here. Have your whole family know this kind of stuff. So that when they come and knock on your door, you look at your kid and you wink at him. And you say, aha, we've had this conversation before. You're not going to fool. This is not a surprise to me. I'm not going to say, what are we going to do? Because you've already discussed these kind of things. So we keep the word of God on a kingdom level. There's also keeping the word of God on a personal level. That is living by this book. Blessed is he and she who's living right. Blessed is he who's keeping the words of this book. Blessed is he and she. Blessed is he who stands up for the word of God. Blessed is he who hungers and thirsts after righteousness. Blessed is he who calls sin, sin, and who repents daily. Blessed is he who tries to live right. And we read in the Psalm chapter 33, verse 12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. So blessed is he who reads, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and who keep the things that are written therein, for the time is at hand. All right, next up he says, the time is at hand. So how can that be? That was 2,000 years ago. How can the time be at hand? How can it be any more at hand now than it was then? Does this make the word of God not true, that he said the time was at hand 2,000 years ago, and he hasn't returned? No, of course not. Acts chapter 1, verse 9, as the Lord Jesus Christ was carried away in a cloud and went back to heaven, this whole world has been on high alert ever since. The angel said, this same Jesus whom you saw go away will come back in like manner as you saw him leave. Now, it's all the same day to him. God's got a plan. We're going to trust him through this plan here. And to keep our eyes on him, focused on him. Ever since the Lord Jesus went back into heaven, this world has been on high alert. And when it says the time is at hand and his return is near, it means shortly, quickly. It means when all this happens, it's going to happen fast. It's going to happen quick. This is how the Apostle John can write, little children, it is the last hour. Once he returned to heaven, we entered into the last hour. And the last hour is like the two-minute warning in football. It's 2 minutes. 2 minutes is 2 minutes, but 2 minutes is never 2 minutes. Or the last 2 minutes in a basketball game or a college basketball game. Good Lord, if your wife ever asks you how much time is left because I want to serve dinner and you say 2 minutes, you're going to get a frying pan upside the head because 2 minutes is never 2 minutes, but 2 minutes is always 2 minutes, and 2 minutes is exactly 2 minutes, not a second more and not a second late. It's 2 minutes, but it's never 2 minutes. The two-minute warning, it's never 2 minutes. But it's exactly 2 minutes. This is why John says, little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard, many antichrists have come. He's the only one to call him the antichrist too, by the way. The Apostle John, 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, 1 John chapter 4. You know, I think we'll have to wrap it up here for today, but we will pick it up right here on Monday as well. Let's continue this first chapter here on Monday. This is going to be an exciting time because God's promised through his word that blessed are we when we take the time to read. Blessed are we when we have ears to hear what God is saying to us. And blessed are we, that's you and me, our families, our churches. Blessed are we when we keep the words written therein. Okay, for more info on this, I think I have an outline or maybe even a handout for an introduction to this book. You can write to me. It's elected77@gmail.com. elected77@gmail.com. I can send you the outline. I think I have an outline kicking around. I definitely have a little intro to this book. I think I have it written somewhere, those four different ways of interpreting this book written down somewhere. So, hey, again, I invite you guys to church this weekend. Why don't you guys come by and visit Island Community Church Sunday morning at 10:30, and I have an awesome sermon lined up. We would love to see you. We'll be back again Monday as we continue this book of this study here in the first chapter of Revelation. You are listening to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.